Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Georgians, hello, global citizens, and hello, concerned Americans. My name is Varun Kadathala, and I'm the current co-host of the Politician Podcast, which myself and my high school best friend Damian Galvin created in June of this year to talk about issues that interest us, issues that disgust us, and issues that America needs to know about. In other words, myself and Damian created this podcast to deconstruct public policy issues of the past and the present and create a more equitable future for all of us. We have a very, very special episode queued up for you guys, but before we play this episode, we're going to give a special thank you to our sponsor, Patreon, and our wonderful team here at Politician, which includes high school juniors Jada Pilling, Yi Shen, and Julia Hartman. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and we hope that you enjoy. See you in the episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Politician. My name is Damian Galvin, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Varun.
Hello, 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 everybody. My name is Varun Kadathala. I'm the co-host of the Politician podcast. As I always say today's an interesting day in America. It's the day after the first presidential debate this year between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, two candidates for this election for president this year. An interesting debate, as we all are probably familiar with, and to join us today to have an exciting conversation about the debates is Will Carroll, our conservative correspondent here at Politician. For all of you who don't know, Will's an extremely, extremely educated, perspective-wise, and just a great person to be with on this topic. Now, I want to let Will introduce himself to any of our guests before we continue here. So if you'd like to do that, Will, please go ahead.
Hey, guys. You should know me by now as Will Carroll. I'm the conservative correspondent on the Politician podcast, and usually I say, you know, go back and watch the episodes, but this time I'm going to mean it. Really go back, watch all the episodes of this podcast. It's really evolved because I think I was the first guest, right?
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
It's really evolved as a good podcast. And I think that I'm looking at some of the episodes here and like episode, I think it was, I don't remember. It was like 41, I think. You guys have Nikema Williams, who's going to fill the seat of John Lewis. Like, you guys might not realize it, but that's an extremely, like, I am very honored to be even on a podcast that someone like that was on. So I think that you guys have grown a lot since I've been on, and I'd like to say congratulations to you guys. You guys got a lot going on. You have a beautiful website. I just checked that out right now, but yeah, let's get on to the podcast.
Yeah, we're excited. After a break, we had an episode scheduled for this Monday, but we weren't exactly happy with how that came out. But on that topic, during that episode, we mentioned the passing of RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I just want to mention it one more time. Really an incredible woman, a true American icon that stood for so much. And we're going to have a episode dedicated to this a little bit more in the future. Hopefully coming out here in the near future, but I know Varun definitely wanted to talk about this, so I'm going to, you know, pass the floor to him.
Absolutely. Like Damian said, Monday's episode was not the best episode. We had a couple of trip upstairs. So in the spirit of providing you guys the best content and the best information, we want to refilm the episode and get that out to you. So be looking for an episode about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the passing of her and the new Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett in the future, the near future. Now, to continue with the podcast today, I think that we have a very, very exciting and perspective-filled episode coming up, as I said before. But before we do talk about the episode and the debate itself, I want to make a couple of things clear. We're going to have a three-person discussion, but it's going to be very, very kind of formulaic. We're going to have a circle kind of setting, and everybody speaks once, and then we hand it off to every single person. Obviously, some kind of collaboration, but for the most part, we're going to stick to that format just because in the spirit of not making it like what happened yesterday, you guys know, it was in shambles. So we, being the better podcast, being the better source of entertainment, we're going to make it a little bit more formulaic here for that purpose. So we'll see how it happens, but this is going to be pretty formulaic here on out. But to begin, I want to ask the both of you this question, and we can talk about our perspectives on this after this. But my question to the both of you is, who do you think was the strongest in this debate? And it's a point of
Hey, you guys are being a little loud.
Debate, not necessarily who won, but who was the strongest.
I'll let Will start off because I think that he's going to offer a little bit of insight onto what my answer is.
Yeah, strong. I don't really think either of them were terribly strong. I mean, I know for a fact Donald Trump came out very strong against Biden, but strong doesn't always necessarily mean good. So if you look at it from that perspective, where strong doesn't necessarily mean good, I think that Trump came out and he was the strongest, but I feel like of the debate, the parts I did watch and the parts I was especially focusing on, I feel like Biden made some better points, and I feel like Biden really got his word more across, even though Trump was more assertive and Trump was the better speaker, but Biden got a lot more of his points across.
I think something interesting to me afterwards was to see the time spent talking between both candidates and seeing that Trump spent close to 3 minutes talking more than Joe Biden did. And so that just, I've never seen someone say so much, but yet say so little. But, you know, the question was about strength. So in spirit of answering that question, I'm going to say this. If someone attacked my family the way that Joe Biden's family was attacked right now, and I didn't say a peep, that would be true strength. I mean, the way that his willpower in not, you know, not mentioning Eric Trump, not mentioning, you know, Donald Trump Jr., not mentioning any family member of Trump was quite honestly impressive. And those of you that know Joe Biden know that he does not hold back. If you spit one at him, one's coming back. Maybe two are coming back. But last night, we saw a man show the true character of a president in being able to bite his tongue. And we saw another man spit venom at him. And I think that that was the true testament of strength. I don't remember who I was talking to, but I said, Joe Biden took a lot of blows last night. And they were blows below the belt, but he kept fighting. And for that reason, he won the match. And I think that that is extremely true. And in rewatching some of the highlights, I can't say how disheartening it was. And before we continue, I want to say that the American people lost last night because we had a display of a president that was anything but presidential. We had a man of honor up there, a man whose children have served in the military, a man whose children have died, a man who's been through tragedy and hardship and has continued to fight for what is democracy, and then we had another man disrespecting it. And if you want to see the blatant disrespect that he has for democracy, watch the last 2 minutes or his response to the final question about keeping your base calm while the votes are being counted. But with that being said, I want to ask the same question to you, Varun. Who do you think really came out as the strongest last night?
Obviously a great question. I think I want to talk first about the spirit of fighting, as you said. And in a regular fight, I've always believed in something. I believed that if somebody throws a bunch of low blows, a bunch of bad punches, they're often trumped by something that is far more profound, and that's one good punch. And I think that's exactly what sums up last night's debate. I think it is one good punch as opposed to numerous low blows. Now, I think that when you ask the question of strength, as I asked you, the both of you, I define strength as something, and it will kind of hit on this. And I know, Damien, you were extremely emotional on this. I define strength is not as yelling, not as somebody who is trying to coerce their opponent, coerce the American people into understanding his viewpoint. I judge strength as listening to people, especially strength as a leader. You know, I define a leader as a person who listens, and that's his utmost responsibility of a president and of any leader at any stage. It's to listen to the American people, and I think that one person did more listening, and that's extremely clear. I mean, I want to talk about something before we continue here, and I want to talk about how Joe Biden spoke directly to the American people, whereas Trump continued to talk directly to Joe Biden. And a lot of conservatives that I know were like, that's an extreme sign of strength, talking exactly to your opponent. Now, I want to say this. I want to say that the point of a debate is to speak to the American people, to inform uneducated, independent, and voters from across every board about the issues and about the candidates. It is not about throwing low blows. It is not about hurting a man's family. And it is not about doing the things that the president did yesterday. Now, Joe Biden wasn't perfect. Joe Biden wasn't perfect. He had some interruptions. He had some bad moments. But Joe Biden held his ground, and I cannot imagine being in his position. Like, how the hell did Joe Biden hold his ground? That's a question I have for the both of you. How the hell did Joe Biden hold his ground? But before we go to that, I want to talk about something that I think will be controversial today. And I want to raise conversation, obviously. One topic that I think goes along with what we said about family and family values and how Donald Trump attacked Joe Biden's family. He talked about Hunter Biden and how Hunter Biden had a scandal with Ukraine and the whole Burisma situation in Ukraine. I know you both are very familiar with that. That's the reason why Donald Trump got impeached. His role in getting Ukraine to coerce into that. But I want to talk about the validation of these claims and the whole conversation about Hunter Biden and Ukraine. So I want to go to Will and ask him about how he feels about Hunter Biden and the whole Burisma situation and how Trump hit on it, because I think that's a big point of contention amongst conservatives and Democrats alike.
Right. So I think that what the president has to focus on in the debate is that he's not running against Hunter Biden. He's not. He's running against Joe Biden. So for him to even mention the name Hunter Biden is just completely wrong. Like, that's like going to a baseball game with a cricket bat. I mean, they're, you know, it has something to do with it, but it's just not the same thing. Now, there's two levels of even mentioning Hunter Biden. Like, there's one thing where he mentioned the millions of dollars that he may or may not have gotten. I'm not 100% sure about Hunter Biden or what dealings he has done with Ukraine, but I cannot stress enough how unpresidential it was to mention that Hunter Biden had drug issues. And I think that some of those claims he made about Hunter Biden were completely baseless and had just no backbone. And I was ashamed to be a Republican yesterday as I watched the president just pretty much call someone out for drug use. And I'd say we're still in the war on drugs. I'd say we're still in that. So I think that Joe Biden's response to that specifically was spot on. And I know, Damien, we briefly talked about this last night, but for Joe Biden to, and I was just looking at the transcript like a minute ago, and I specifically moved to that because I wanted to get everything right. Spot on, home run, strike. Like he got it. He nailed it. Like his response to that. So I think that, and I know that we were talking about before how Joe Biden was able to keep it together. I think that that might have been the pivotal moment in the debate where Joe Biden kind of shifted the tide in his favor and what really secured the victory for him last night.
Yes. I agree with you 1,000%, Will, and I don't necessarily know if it only secured him the victory in the debate last night. It might have secured him the presidential victory on November 3rd, to be quite honest. That response was something that, I mean, my heart stopped when he was responding to that. But before I get into that specifically, I want to state this. With regard to the Hunter Biden situation, the families of both candidates had no place in this debate, period. This is about our families. Our families should come first, and Joe Biden did an amazing job of making sure that our families were thought of first. And to that, I have to applaud him. Secondly, with respect to the Moscow situation, it was actually a partisan report passed. If I'm not mistaken, by Congress, it was a partisan report passed by Congress.
Damien. It was written by two Republican senators, Johnson and Grassley, Ron Johnson, Chuck Grassley, as part of the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Commission.
There you go. So it was a partisan and it had no backbone, as Will mentioned. There's still no tangible proof that this happened. On the contrary, Donald Trump actually got in trouble for some previous negotiations with the exact same mayor that he is now criticizing Hunter Biden for allegedly having $3.5 million with. Donald Trump actually got in trouble for this. Not allegedly. It was actually a problem with the exact same mayor. But now that that's out of the way, I want to talk a little bit about what Will said. Last night, there was no teleprompter. Last night, there was no mumbling Joe. There was no sleepy Joe Biden. Last night, Joe Biden looked wide awake. And despite what the president might say, there was no earpiece. We know that because actually the president called for both candidates to be checked beforehand. And there were no performance enhancing drugs. And I would argue that the only person that needed them was probably Chris Wallace. But with that being said, when the president brought up his drug use, abuse, however you want to phrase it, and said furthermore that he was discharged dishonorably from the military because of his cocaine use, my heart hurt. Because beyond anything, I've Donald Trump's children, you know, I think that right now we can talk about it. Donald Trump's children have never even tried to serve in the military. I can't even name the most patriotic thing that they've done. And I can assure you that even the most patriotic thing that they've done pales in comparison to anything that Hunter Biden has done, let alone Beau Biden. But that hurt. That hurt because I know classmates whose parents have struggled with addiction. I know people who have struggled with addiction. But the Band-Aid on that little sore was when Joe Biden responded and said, yes, my son did struggle with drug abuse. And there was some power in that statement. My son. My son. And that had a lot behind it. Not only did it show that he was owning up to it and he said, my son. But after that, he said, like many of you Americans, while looking into the camera, he said he has struggled and he has overcome it. And I am proud of him. And by saying my son, he said, I am proud of him as a father. I cannot be any more proud of him than what I am right now. And I think who that appealed to more than anybody was big majority that Donald Trump won surprisingly in 2016, and that was the female vote, the white female vote, to be specific. That statement, it really, I think, changed a lot more than it's being credited for because of the fact that Donald Trump said a lot worse than a lot better. So it's easier to focus on the bad things that Donald Trump did and overlook what Joe Biden did. But that's my response to this whole situation.
Yeah. And that's, you know, extremely powerful. I mean, Damien's always powerful, but that was, probably one of the most emotional I've seen Damien. So, to provide you with some context, it was extremely good. I do want to mention something that I wanted to give context on, because in the spirit of fact checking, talking about Hunter Biden and his investigations, his communications with Ukraine. The fact of the matter is that as per that Republican probe into his – so basically Hunter Biden had a job working with a big company in Ukraine called Burisma, and the head of that company was corrupt. And the issue was that he was working with them as the U.S. was trying to cut relations with them. But the fact of the matter is that those state officials said that was kind of a flawed relationship, a confusing relationship. Joe Biden had nothing to do with it. And moreover, it had no effect upon the U.S.'s foreign policy decisions against Ukraine. So you could say, in effect, that had nothing at all to do with the debate. And I think that Joe Biden was too flustered by it to even say. I mean, Joe Biden, that was a personal attack to him. If it was anybody else, they would have came out and said that had no relation to the debate at hand. That was a personal attack. And that is something we see in the likes of kids. You know, this is the kind of stuff that gets a kid in ISS, in school suspension. This is not the kind of stuff that you see in a presidential debate. Personal attacks. Now, I want to mention that that's one of the main talking points for conservatives. If you look at why this report was actually sanctioned, it was for, quote unquote, the reelection campaign of President Trump. And the guy who wrote it said, quote unquote, this will certainly help, you know, debase Joe Biden's evidence in history. Now, I want to talk about what Damian mentioned in terms of family. Not only did Joe Biden's family get hurt last night, I think the American people got hurt last night. I mean, Damian mentioned it before, but I think that what we wanted from this debate was a conversation on the actual policy. And what we got sold incredibly short. We got sold incredibly short. And what we got was a bickering match between two people who, one of them, didn't seem like he was in the right mind at the exact moment. It seemed like he was just more focused upon making the other person tear up and go home than he was in winning the election. And one person who, I mean, held his ground, but even Joe Biden did acquiesce to some interruptions. I'm not gonna debase that. But I think the point is that interruptions always happen. Trump just made it extremely, extremely hard to watch this debate. And I want to talk about running away. And I mentioned this on Monday's episode, which Monday's episode will not be released the entirety of it. So I want to mention this today. I want to mention the fact that Donald Trump runs away. Donald Trump runs away from military service, as Damian mentioned. And the place where Donald Trump has run away has been the environment and also has been the coronavirus. You know, he's run away from so many things in his life. I think that one of the main points that I think Democrats should push is how he's not willing to be our president for one more term without running away. I don't know. I have a lot of mixed perspectives on this, but I want to let Will, because I've been basically deciding a couple of topics here. I want to let Will bring up something that he's interested in talking about today, because I know Will's extremely, extremely passionate about this. What do you think is the most important takeaway, Will?
I think the most important takeaway, and there were a lot of takeaways from the debate, is I was talking about this this morning with some of my friends just in the school parking lot, but what votes are going to change? What votes are going to be gained? What votes are going to be lost? And I think that we need to focus on what the American people really look for in a debate. And I hate to say it, I don't really think the American people were looking for policy. I think that when you put Donald Trump and Joe Biden in a room and all you hear from Donald Trump is Joe Biden is incompetent, and all you hear from Joe Biden is Donald Trump is the worst president ever, I think that they're looking for a fight. So here's my, I guess, prediction on the type of voters that are going to, that like the type of voters that I think, you know, maybe swung, maybe might be staying the same. I think first off, Damon, you had a point. I think a lot more women are going to take I think they're going to take a closer look at Joe Biden. And I think they're going to be like, huh, he's not like, yeah, Joe Biden's creepy. But I mean, if he cares about his son, like, I think they're going to take a bigger look at that. Like, oh, he's a family man. I like that. And I think a lot of other, I think also a lot of moderate Republicans are going to look at that. Like, oh, we're family men. He's a family man. He's proud of his son. I think they're going to take a very, very close look at Joe Biden after this debate. I also think that if you were a Trump supporter during this debate, I think that 90% of them are going to stay Trump voting. I think that, I don't think that's going to change much. I think we're really going for undecided. And I think of the 121 million people who voted last year. I think it was 61 Hillary, 60 Donald Trump. I think that I want to say at least 60 million are undecided this year. And I think that is the largest margin of undecided voters we've had at this point in the election. Maybe ever. So I think that this election is going to be very important to watch, especially with all the undecided voters and all the new voters. I don't think Joe Biden necessarily did enough for young voters. And I think that that should be his biggest target, is because he's got this age group. He's got 18 to 25. I think those are the majority of the undecided voters. Because if you're 60 something and you've been a lifelong Republican, chances are you'll probably be voting Donald Trump. And or if you're 60 something, you've been a lifelong Democrat, I feel like you're going to be voting Joe Biden. But I wanted to see what you guys think about, you know, who's going where on the who's voting for who.
Yeah.
In the like, and you guys can narrow it down wherever you want, like maybe culturally or by gender or sex, just wealth.
Yeah.
I just shoot.
Yeah. Donald Trump securely lost last night. But Joe Biden, I would not say Joe Biden won. And I believe that strongly. I don't think that Joe Biden, but Joe Biden did not need to win. Joe Biden just needed to show that he was empathetic, that he could come up there and he could take a couple low blows. And Donald Trump was feeding into their strategy, if you ask me. He walked right into a bear trap. But Donald Trump lost. And I say he lost, as he would say, hugely last night, bigly, right? And this is why. Last night, Donald Trump lost Pennsylvania. And last night, Donald Trump securely lost any questionable African-American vote, the majority of questionable African-American voters, undecided African-American voters, he lost last night. He lost Pennsylvania because of a quote that's coming out and has been circulating since last night where he said a lot of bad things happen in Pennsylvania. I can tell you, based off of the reaction on Twitter and based off of the reaction of individuals from Pennsylvania, they are not happy with that. Secondly, I think that it was a quote that had a lot more hidden behind it. Pennsylvania, obviously, being such a... Or sorry, it was Philadelphia, was it not? I think it was Philadelphia. I apologize because I was it was Philadelphia.
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
It was Philadelphia because the Liberty Bell is in Philadelphia. I just completely
Right. Philadelphia is in Pennsylvania.
It is
in Pennsylvania. Okay, so you're not completely wrong.
But to be more specific, I did want to talk about Philadelphia, which was important, right? And in losing Philadelphia, he lost Pennsylvania. So on the same wave, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, was where democracy was founded. It was one of the finding points of democracy. So him saying a lot of bad things happen in Philadelphia, it was kind of like a testament to the fact that he doesn't care about democracy, or he has no regard for democracy. And then later in the conversation, he cemented that by saying that he would not tell his voters to hang on as the votes were being counted. The second group that he lost, that I mentioned previously, was the African-American vote, the African-American undecided vote. Which, say what you want, every vote matters right now. As Will mentioned, there's a lot of undecided voters. And if 10 million voters, if 5 million voters came out last night and said, I cannot vote for Donald Trump, because that's what I think happened. I don't think 5 million or 10 million voters came out and said, I have to vote for Joe Biden. They said, I cannot vote for Donald Trump. And 5 to 10 million is huge right now. It's huge for an incumbent president. You have to remember, we have not seen anything like this come from, I don't even know the correct way to phrase this. A president that would be going into his second term. There you go. We have not seen such a race, I'd say, ever in American history, but even more so with an incumbent president. So this leads a very interesting situation. But the reason that he lost the undecided African-American vote was because last night on the biggest stage, he cannot condemn racism. He cannot condemn racism. Say what you want. Everyone says, I can find 7 videos of him doing instantly last night, or doing it instantly previously. Last night, he didn't, though. Last night, he didn't. The thing should have been, Donald Trump, do you condemn white supremacists? Yes. That was his answer should have been, that was the stupidest question you've ever asked me. Yes. You want to know something that pissed me off? When he said, I've seen more from the left wing than the right wing. White supremacists aren't white wing. White right wing. They aren't. They aren't American. They do not hold our values. They don't hold conservative values. And that's a blatant disrespect to the Republican Party to say that Antifa is left wing and white supremacists are right wing. It is wrong. you should not try to encompass that group within your party, period. And saying that, I think, was a big disservice to the Republican Party. It was a big disservice to conservatives. And last night, I feel like a lot of conservatives felt that blow because they've been trying to run from the fact and they've been trying to defend this president and say that he's not racist. And just because I vote for him, I am not racist. Because you see these allegations coming out, and I do not believe that everyone that votes for Donald Trump is racist. But that stereotype was cemented last night because of his rhetoric. And there's nothing more that I can say about that. And I'd love to hear Will respond to this as someone who is conservative.
100% my emotions. This is what made me turn off the debate last night. I'm sick of the cussing, but yeah, I was literally yelling at my TV last night. I'm like, just say it, say it, say it, say it. Just, and I see him, he starts talking about Antifa, and I'm like, that's not the question. That's not what you were asked. And I felt exactly the way that you said, Damian, is I'm sick and tired of saying Donald Trump's not racist. Donald Trump's not racist. Donald Trump is not racist. Do I think he's racist after that? No, I just think he's an idiot. But I can't defend him now because he just refuses to say it. And I think that's what makes him an idiot above all. And I'm just so sick of it. I'm so sick of Donald Trump ruining my party. I'm sick of it because it's, do you know how hard it's going to be for another Republican to get elected? The next three presidents are going to be Democrat. Like, do you know how hard that is going to be for future Republicans, for especially the more moderate Republicans, like the Republicans who actually want to listen?
The Lincoln Republicans.
Exactly. Exactly. The Republicans who want to get things done. And I am so unbelievably sick of the crap. And I think that him not mentioning that last night, I think that he's definitely not winning the
African-American vote.
African-American vote after that? No. No, he's not. Of course not. But he's definitely not winning the general population vote. He's not. The only way for him to win right now is the Electoral College. And I think states like Pennsylvania and states like Arizona and states like Minnesota are all going blue this year. Guaranteed. 100%. And I think you'll start to see states like Michigan go blue this year. And I think that Michigan's 16 electoral votes, that's pushing it. I've got a map I made, one of the political maps I made on a website from about a month ago, and it had Trump winning by about 30 electoral votes. If he wins it, I don't think it'll be by much this year. I think he had 292 against Hillary. I've got him, this map has 288 right now. I think that could go down. He is going to be pushing it.
Yeah,
he's going to be pushing it. Mm-hmm. I think if he wins, he'll win by 272. And it's 270 to win. I think he'll win by 272.
That's what most predictions have it. As a Trump victory right now, they have it at 272. A Biden victory, they have it like, it could be like middle 300s right now. Insane. I have never seen something like this. And you know, you were talking about Michigan and such. I think that all of the Midwest right now is blue. I think after last night, all of the Midwest is blue.
And Ohio, yeah.
I'm gonna be dead serious. I think Georgia might turn blue.
Oh yeah. Did you see the okay, so there's a Quinnipiac released poll, and it said that Joe Biden was up by 3 points in Georgia. If Joe
That's
Biden
never
was in
happened.
Georgia, and I'm telling you this, no, in Bill Clinton was the only Democratic president in the past, like, I don't know how many elections, but Bill Clinton was the only memorable Democratic president who won in Georgia.
Incumbent. Like, sorry, I was referring to incumbent.
Right.
No incumbent.
Now I want to talk about something that I believe for a long time. If Donald Trump loses in Georgia, the Deep South, Donald Trump has no chance of winning the election. Donald Trump will not win the election by any – Georgia is one of the most – conservative states in the entire United States. If you look at that poll, Raphael Warnock is beating Kelly Loeffler this year, as per that poll. The first ever poll showing Raphael Warnock winning. Now, Raphael Warnock, if you guys aren't familiar with him, is running for the Senate this year against a host of candidates. Now, I've always believed that Raphael Warnock has no chance in this election, especially because of Matt Lieberman, who's trailing him and following his tracks and splitting his votes. But this poll shows that Raphael Warnock has a very good chance at winning the election this year, which is absolutely incredible because this guy came from having no shot. A political newcomer, a person who was never known by anybody. And
Reverend, correct? He's a reverend?
Reverend Raphael Warnock.
No worries.
Yeah, and the reason why, I want to say something because the problem I have seen, Will is absolutely right, 100%, 1,000%, whatever you want to call it. Young voters are not turning out for Biden. They're not turning out for Joe Biden. And I think that the reason that I give for that happening is because young voters are illusioned with, I think, an idealistic reality. A lot of young voters voted for Bernie Sanders in that Democratic primary, voted for Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. They don't want to support a moderate Democratic candidate. And that's why I've seen in my peers, and this is just a speculation that I have, in my peers' social media channels, they tend to drift towards Bernie Sanders as a Democratic candidate. And in doing so, they shun Joe Biden. Now, the problem with this election as a Democrat, this angers me so much because I am not voting. And trust me on this. I have been a Joe Biden supporter since day one, and I would take nearly anybody over Joe Biden. And the reason why I'm voting for Joe Biden right now is because it is a choice that you have to make between two people. And it's always been a choice that you have to make between two people. But this year, it is a choice more so if you want empathy in the White House. If you want somebody who knows exactly what they're doing for the American people in the White House, if you want to save lives, it's about equality. It's about so many things that has never been in contention over the past couple of years. And that's why I'm voting for Biden. I think if you're not voting, if you're a Democrat and you're not voting for Biden, I do not know what you're doing, because there's so many on the fence young Democrats who cannot make the simple choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And the third party advantage within the Democratic Party was within young voters especially, was cemented since day one. We had a large percentage of Democratic young voters coming out and say, even before a third party candidate came out, they said, I would support that third party candidate. That's the reason for why Joe Biden can't win young votes. Now, I want to talk about what Donald Trump said about Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, like you said, Damian. What he said was that the elections were going to be extremely rigged in that state, in that city, because they weren't allowing poll watchers to go look at the polls. Now, as a poll worker, I know exactly how false that statement is, because you and I can't go. Will can't go into a polling location. I can't go into a polling location. Neither can Damien without a written certification. Each party, each PAC, each action group can nominate a certain number of poll workers, poll watchers. People can't just go in randomly. And to say that is an absolute, act of ignorance against what democracy means, what poll watching means. Poll watching has to be a sign-up event. There's a limit for the number of poll watchers in every single state, Georgia included. So I knew better. And I'm worried. I'm scared that the American people did not know better in that circumstance. I don't want to be a poll worker and see poll watchers streaming in and corrupting the elections, because I'm going to say something to end my point here. I know I'm rambling here, but I want to say something. If people show up to the polls as poll watchers and we cannot control them, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be, and I hate to reference this, but back when segregation happened and, a lot of Americans came out and tried to dissuade black voters from voting by standing at the booths and being that presence. It will happen if we don't crack down upon this and say poll watching is not okay for everybody. You have to be nominated. You have to sign up. That's something that you have to do. And in the spirit of democracy and what is challenging democracy today, I want to gauge your comments. We talked a lot about a lot of topics today, and I'm glad we're doing it. But I want to gauge your comments on what Donald Trump said about the elections this year and how they could be extremely, extremely, extremely rigged.
Yeah. Definitely.
I want to hear that.
Definitely. Before we talk about that, I want to come back with an electoral map and talk about this very, very situation. But we're going to cut to a quick message from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. ¶¶ And we're back from a very elongated break, but that was a lot of fun. We were messing with some of the electoral college maps. If you guys want to mess around with these and throw in your predictions right now, I will tell you, me, Varun, we're very surprised at just a lot of things. Please go out and vote regardless of how you mess around. It's 270towin.com. That's what I used. But you might be surprised by some of these numbers that might be favoring Joe Biden. But remember that these maps mean nothing if you don't go out and vote. So whenever you're dealing with hypothetical situations, don't count on others to cast your victory for you. Go out and vote. But I want to hand it over to Varun.
Yeah. Well, I want to first begin by saying that this was an extremely, extremely good break for us to have, because we looked at the polls and looked at exactly what it will take for Donald Trump to win this election, more so than Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is in the lead currently. And in the majority of polls, if not all the polls, is in some kind of lead. And Trump needs a lot of these swing states to turn in his favor for him to win. And as Will said, a lot of these states are actually, you know, pledged towards Joe Biden in a sense. They're, you know, dominated by Democrats. So I think he made a really good point during the break. He told us that Joe Biden has more cemented states than Trump has. So I think that for Trump to win this election, he has to do a couple of things. Number one, get these swing states. He has to appeal to these voters in these states. And number two, appeal to kind of his base more so. Has to turn out his base. And I think that the number one thing that Trump is not doing and has not done is you know, I want to mention something before I go into that. I want to mention that I feel like last night during the debate, Trump focused more on voting fraud. Focused more on, you know, how people should watch the polls instead of telling people to go vote. And I think that to win this election, Donald Trump has to tell people to vote at the polls and not disenfranchise not only people, but democracy itself. He's not giving democracy a seat at the table. And I think to win this election, not only to cement his presidency, it is going to take a big push by Republicans to get the vote out. And this affects every single stage of the field. I don't care if you're looking at the Senate, which is leaning. It's a toss-up right now. You know, it's a toss-up. They see Democrats with a slight advantage in many polls. It's a toss-up. So if you want to win the Senate, if you want to win the, maybe even the House, if you want to win the presidency, Republicans have to push the message of vote as much as Democrats are. And I think it begins with, I mean, I think the voting fraud is an incredibly powerful message to some, but voting fraud, in a sense, tells people that the democratic process they shouldn't trust. So what other avenues do you have? That's the question.
Yeah.
The vote is one of the only avenues that you have to spread what you think about the American future and what it should look like. And I think we have to encourage people, no matter if you're red, no matter if you're blue, we're all Americans and we should have a role to play in this election. And disenfranchisement is not going to achieve that.
Yes. And something extremely important that I wanted to talk about was exactly what you were saying. You were saying that Donald Trump needed to appeal to his base. I disagree. Last night, Donald Trump and what he needs to do in the future to win those crucial toss-up states that we're talking about. And if we're going to give the majority of toss-up states to Donald Trump and say that they're red-leaning, what he needs to do is he needs to go away from his base, kind of like what we saw Joe Biden do last night. What I mean by that is Donald Trump said something that he needs to remember. He said, "I can kill a man in Times Square and nobody would give a damn," right? Something along those lines. His vote, his base would not change their minds about anything that Donald Trump does. And it's true. He could do whatever he wants. He could say whatever he wants. He's the party right now. Joe Biden knows that. Joe Biden's been in politics for 47 years. He knows that the president is the party. But right now, Donald Trump is sticking to his base too much. He needs to remember that he can move and his base will follow. So right now, because he's sticking to his base and because he's leaning so far right in his policy, it's creating a very, very, very interesting dynamic. What I mean by this is right now, Joe Biden, he knows that, again, his party is going to follow him. He said it last night. He is the party.
Yep.
And that is true. He is the party. If Joe Biden says, "Democrats, we're going to do this," Democrats are going to do it. And it's the same thing for Donald Trump. So when you're going so far to the right and you're taking your party so far to the right, you're turning off voters from the middle. And that's why you're not going to win those toss-ups. And that's why Donald Trump, in my opinion, as of right now, with I think it's almost around 30 days left, right? 33 days, about
33, I think it is.
Yeah, about 33 days.
Something around
varying
that,
varying that because of the time that this episode is released. But right now, Donald Trump is not going to win as many toss-ups as he needs to win. I honestly have Joe Biden winning this election in the mid-300s.
I wanna address something because Damian made a lot of good points there. And I'm gonna direct this question towards Will. We talked about Joe Biden being the face of the party. And I think that now more than ever, he is. And the reason why I'm saying that is because Joe Biden, contrary to public opinion and conservative opinion, has drifted from his party on integral things like defunding the police, for example. I've known this. We've talked about this over a couple of months ago. Joe Biden is not for defunding the police. In our second, I think our third or second ever episode, we talked about Joe Biden not being for defunding the police. And the biggest thing that I think made a difference in the election, last night, was Joe Biden's stance on the environment. Now, Joe Biden never said that he endorsed the Democrats' Green New Deal and that he endorsed his own policy, which, you know, from prior knowledge, I know that Joe Biden's policy is not in support of elimination of fracking, is in support of a gradual shift towards a green economy instead of the Green New Deal, which is a little bit more intensive. And that's what I personally agree with. Now, I'm willing to put that aside for Joe Biden's election campaign. Now, I want to hear from Will, at being conservative, being part of this confusion, what do you think about the conservative rhetoric that that Bernie Sanders runs Joe Biden, that AOC runs Joe Biden, and that Joe Biden acquiesces to the radical left much more than he should? And do you think that was reflected during yesterday's debate?
I think yesterday we saw a more free thinking Joe Biden, and that's, I think, what I liked about him last night. And you know, the only reason that the whole, you know, Bernie is going to control Joe, or AOC is going to control Joe, or Elizabeth Warren or whoever is going to control Joe Biden, I think it's purely off of the fact that the president is running his campaign on the fact that Joe Biden is mentally unstable. And yep. He definitely, you can't deny the fact that Joe Biden, he's not exactly as sharp as he once was. And agreed. I think that that's going to be the main reason that a lot of people don't vote for him. Specifically, a lot of Democrats don't vote for him, is because he's not as sharp as he was in 1988, or he's not as sharp as he was in 2008. But you have to focus on the Joe Biden that we saw last night. And I think that Joe Biden last night, I don't think he was prepared for Trump to talk about Hunter Biden. So for him to get back on his feet and be like, yeah, he's my son, and I'm proud of him, I think that that was all improv. And I think that we need to have a president who's quick on his feet. And I like to see that from Joe Biden. And I think that in the next debate, and in the following debate, especially, but more importantly, the next debate, next presidential debate, it's a town hall format. And I don't know exactly how they're going to do that with coronavirus, but the town hall debates are always my favorite debates because they're real American citizens asking real questions about them. It's not the self-promotion that Donald Trump was doing last night, or the scripted looking up, smirking at the camera that Joe Biden was doing last night, which was kind of funny, but that's besides the point.
It was good.
it was a little bit
much better than the yelling.
It was better than the yelling, but it was a little bit. I think I counted. I
100 points
of the. I think he did it at least 35 times, which. probably about 30 times too much, but I mean, I think that when he was going over a script, I think whoever was prepping him was just like, all right, whenever he says something stupid, just do that. So that could be part of the issue.
It was,
but
absolutely part of the strategy,
right? But I think that we're gonna see in this. I feel like this debate, the one that we saw last night, was great for Joe Biden and was not very good for Donald Trump. I think the town hall debate is really what's going to cement a victory for either side, because where are all the gaffes that we see from Joe Biden? We don't see gaffes from Joe Biden, like, right. We see gaffes from Joe Biden when people at his rallies or when he's, like, talking to individual people. So, like, the You Ain't Black or whatever, or when he's talking about, says, I'm going to take away your AR-14s or they're going to put y'all back in chains or whatever he said. He's always been in front of people. So I think that this next debate is a make or break for Joe Biden. And if he can be the Joe Biden that he was in last night's debate, the empathetic Joe that we saw, the family man Joe that we saw, I think that that's going to cement a Biden victory. And I think that that is probably, I think this next debate might be the most important debate we're going to see.
I think that all Joe Biden has to do is what he did during the actual town hall, not the actual town hall, but the previous town hall that he had in front of the American people. He did the exact opposite of what President Trump did. And what President Trump did is basically disavow every single claim that his, you know, people in the crowds had. And granted, President Trump's town hall was a independent, undecided voters town hall. But anyways, he disavowed those claims, whereas Joe Biden addressed each of his supporters' claims. Now, I do want to ask you a specific question that I think we got off track on it. And I know you meant to answer it. You were talking about how Joe Biden's rhetoric has been less stumbled. Before we continue, I wanted to ask you what I asked you before. Do you think that Joe Biden's policies reflect the radical left as of the likes of Bernie Sanders, AOC, not his rhetoric, but his policies? Do they reflect the radical left or do they reflect Joe Biden? What do you think of that?
I don't think so. I think Joe Biden is, I think Trump and Joe Biden are actually very similar. I think they're more similar than they realize and they're more similar than they give each other credit for.
Policy-wise.
And I think, but the personality is what overshadows them, overshadows policy. Yep. And we talked about, like I said this last night, is that Trump was attacking the person, not the policy. Like, don't hate the person, hate the policy. And we saw a lot of that from Trump last night. And I think that, I think Donald Trump, his policies, they're not radical. They're not. They're really not. Mm-mm. He's a pretty moderate Republican. It's just the constant yapping and the constant Twitter stuff. And then Joe Biden gets overshadowed because he's actually a moderate Democrat. And a lot of Republicans like to be like, oh, Joe Biden, he's terrible. He's because they associate Joe Biden with people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, who are more radical left-leaning, especially with the Green New Deal plan. It's that Joe Biden, you know, is not going to work with the Green New Deal because that's more radical than he's ready for.
Yeah.
He's more moderate. And I think that he gets overshadowed by the mental incompetence, which can be worked on. But I just don't think that... I don't think it's...
Yeah.
It can definitely be worked on, but it is a major hiccup in the presidency that we cannot miss. We need to have a president, and I don't think... I'm not saying that Donald Trump is exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I think that
Don't Joe use the Biden, word smart around me.
I think he needs to do, like, if he's going to be the president, I think he needs to swear that he's going to take biweekly mental health checks.
Yeah.
And I think that that is what's going to put me at ease. Because if we had the Joe Biden from 1988 or even 2008 as our president, I think he'd be fine mentally. So I wouldn't be worried about that. But we need to establish for our president, we need to establish that there needs to be a mental health check for both of them.
Yeah, I think at least once a month, that should always be a thing, period, for both of them. But I want to say something, and I want to say something that I think that we might be contributing to a little bit. Donald Trump, last night, because of the things that he's been saying over the past year, fell on his ass, and he was shut up. And what I mean by that is when you say that someone is mentally incompetent, oh, it's mentally incompetent. He can't speak. Oh, sleepy Joe. And then he goes out there and doesn't mess up once and you're the laugh of the debate. You set the bar so low. Right. I'm not going to lie. Anytime Joe Biden speaks, I'm hyper analyzing it. I'm hyper analyzing every single little stutter. And there are stutters that me or you would make. Right. I think if Joe Biden spoke like me, that he'd be made fun of. It's every little thing that Joe Biden does and every little hiccup, every little coming back on a point or, you know, sometimes he'll say, for example, like I did earlier where I was saying Pennsylvania instead of Philadelphia. If Joe Biden had done that, my heart would have stopped, right? It's like, oh no, you mean to say Philadelphia. And even though he comes back to it later, you're like, he's mentally incompetent because Trump has planted that seed in your head. But last night, that seed blossomed and it wasn't what we expected it to be. Last night, Joe Biden showed that man could talk and man could talk a big game. And last night, I think the moment that the seed, that the sprout kind of just came out of the ground was when he said that very crucial thing. I am the party. I am the Democratic Party. That is so powerful. And I think that put a lot of Republicans at ease because you heard Donald Trump saying, oh, you're a puppet along the lines. You're a puppet to AOC, implying that he was a puppet to AOC, implying that he was a puppet to the radical left. Biden said, hold my beer. I'm no puppet. As a matter of fact, they are my puppets. I am the party. I'm the puppet master right now. And you need to understand that.
I think that more than putting them at ease, I think it put Republicans on high alert.
Yes.
Because if Joe Biden is the Democratic Party, that's an extremely different opponent for the Republican Party. Now, I do want to address on the topic of gaffes. I want to address the fact that Joe Biden's been making gaffes ever since 1998.
Yeah, yes.
He has been a constant gaffe machine. I'm not gonna deny it. I'm not gonna duck from it. He's been a constant gaffe machine. But to say they're unique and new to this election is kind of ignorant. I mean, yeah. I'm not pinning anybody, but it's been happening for a very, very long time. And if you look at, I agree with you on some sense, Will. I do agree that ever since 2016, ever since 2008. Even 4 years ago, I mean, Joe Biden was an incredibly better speaker. I mean, I still remember when he shut down Paul Ryan with the "It's a bunch of malarkey" during the vice presidential debate back in 2012. But I think the difference now is that Joe Biden does stutter a little bit more, does have mumbling a little bit more, has moments where he can't remember what he's saying. It's absolutely true. I think to say the gaffes are new, they're not. And talking to the American people has been something that Joe Biden has been extremely skilled at doing, as shown by his town hall. And yes, he slips up. Yes, he has some bad decisions. But I think what differentiates both candidates for me is that when Joe Biden makes a mistake, Joe Biden stands up and Joe Biden apologizes. And I can tell you, he does it every single
yes.
time.
Yes.
If he makes a mistake and he's caught on it, he apologizes.
That's
and
true.
Trump, last night, a person that I respect, I've come to respect because of you, Will, Tim Scott. He came out and he said this. He said that along the lines of this. I don't know if Trump meant it, but if the president comes out and says that he did not mean what he said about the Proud Boys and how they should stand down and stand by, then I think I would forgive him. But if he doesn't amplify that, doesn't clarify that, then there's nothing I can say for him. I can't support it. And you said it before. You can't support a guy who doesn't apologize. And you saw it today. During the press conference, Trump came out and said, well, I didn't know enough about Proud Boys to make a decision. So for now, I'm going to say stand down until law enforcement can make that decision. You don't have to know what they are. All you have to know, and forgive me for saying this, but when Joe Biden, when Chris Wallace, forgive me, asked Donald Trump, do you unequivocally say that white supremacy is a bad thing for the nation. He said, name one white supremacist group. You or I, Will, Damien, any normal, sensible person would have
KKK.
Wouldn't have asked the question, what is the group? Because you would know exactly what groups we're talking about. So what? Joe Biden goes, Proud Boys. That was a bad group to mention. Proud Boys is a white supremacist group, but people don't necessarily know about them as much as QAnon.
You want to talk about being sharp, though?
I want to finish my point here.
Go ahead.
The Proud Boys was not a well-known group, but Donald Trump, all he had to say was, I don't like them. I don't like them. They're not a good thing for this nation. White supremacy is not a good thing for this nation. It makes it extremely hard for people who would otherwise have supported him, like Tim Scott, who is an African-American himself, to support that kind of messaging. And, you know, when you talk about gaffes, I think the second determining factor in determining why Joe Biden's gaffe are more acceptable than Trump's comments last night, at least, was the fact that Joe Biden has the capability to learn. And he employs that capability. When he says that he messed up, he means it. And he wants to learn from it. And I think that even though Joe Biden may have to be scripted, I think scripting is much better than tangents. Tangents against the American people, tangents on things like this. I think if you script a guy, this guy can really make your day. And, you know, if you talk about scripting, every single president has been scripted for the majority of his speeches.
Yes.
You have scripts for a reason. To make sure you're making your claims in the right way, shape, or form. Joe Biden may need those scripts, but Joe Biden's willingness to learn makes him different, and his willingness to apologize makes him different.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to finish on what I was saying before, and you segued into what I was going to finish on beforehand. It's that idea that they said that he was mentally incompetent, that he needed a teleprompter. Last night he showed that he was not mentally incompetent and that he did not need a teleprompter. As a matter of fact, he showed that he was actually extremely smart and quick on his feet. Extremely, extremely quick on his feet. And I think that the one thing that we're not giving enough credit to Joe Biden for is the Proud Boys wouldn't have been brought up if Joe Biden wouldn't have said Proud Boys. The Proud Boys, I don't know what it was, but Joe Biden saw a light click the second he said, name a group. Joe Biden turned to him, and it was one of the very few times that Joe Biden had actually addressed the president, looked at him, and he looked at him. He leaned over his podium, and he said, Proud Boys. He wanted an answer from the Proud Boys. I don't know what it was, but I think Joe, it's almost like when you watch film, right? And for all of those, for the athletes out there, they will understand this. You hear the quarterback make a specific call or he makes an audible, right? He changes the play at the line of scrimmage. He makes an audible. He says whatever you want. What is it? Omaha, right? He calls that at the line, and you've watched so much film that you know that what he's going to do, so you adjust your defense. That's what Joe Biden did in a sense. He saw the second that question was asked that he needed to ask something directly in response. But with that being said, I want to say this. Tom Cotton, before the debate, he was riding on Trump's coattail. I watched a bunch of Tom Cotton interviews before the debate. He was defending Donald Trump afterwards. Tom Cotton, like, he looked like he was scared to even mention Trump's name.
Mention Rick Santorum on CNN.
Yes. But, you know, the kind of final thing that I want to address here is this next... this next debate town hall that we're going to have.
Right.
And I want to segue this for Will. This next Joe Biden, this is something that I want to say. I mean, thank goodness that it didn't fluff past my mind. Last night, it was a town hall. It felt like a town hall when Joe Biden was talking. Besides the, you know, whatever you want to call the yapping in the background, you know, I think that whatever you want to say, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, Donald Trump, he's funny. Last night when Joe Biden said, can you shut up, man? It was like he was speaking for the whole, you know, United States. It was like, why can't this guy just stop? Yeah, it was hilarious when he was like, can you shut up, man? It was like it was a huge one-liner.
You don't see Joe Biden being unprofessional, unpresidential. That was one of the most unsolicited moments of the
year. And it showed, it spoke for the American people. But I want to talk about this. Will was mentioning gaffes, and one huge gaffe that we cannot deny and that always gets brought up when you talk about racism and whatever is when Joe Biden said, if you vote for Trump, please correct me.
If you vote for Trump and you're black, then you ain't black.
Okay, if you vote for Trump and you black, then you ain't black. Last night, that got turned from something against by, and I'm saying this because I saw this on Twitter everywhere, that got turned from something that was, you know, in the category of against Biden to something that was for Biden. I saw when black conservatives would come out and say, I'm voting for Donald Trump. In the comments, I saw black people responding, then you ain't black, then you ain't black, then you ain't black. It was almost as if it had turned into a catchphrase, something that you could put on a t-shirt, where beforehand, it was something that Joe Biden almost wanted to forget. I think that that was something pivotal and something that really hurt Donald Trump. Because now, if you vote for Donald Trump, and you're black, then you ain't black. A lot of black people are using that kind of a, you know, as some people, very, very drastic comparison. But, you know, you would consider one slander at one point, and now, you know, you see the African-American community using it. It's very similar to the N-word. In that respect, that it was at one point a slanderous term that they weren't proud of, and now they've embodied it in their community and actually use it within themselves. So, Will, what do you have to say to that?
That's 100% right. I actually compared it more to in 2016 when Hillary said proud deplorables. That had kind of been turned on her as something not for her necessarily, but it was now moved against her. And I still see bumper stickers that say I'm a proud deplorable or things like that. And I think that, or like basket of deplorables or whatever exactly she said, I don't think that was necessarily as controversial as you ain't black, but she definitely apologized for it. I do remember that, but I don't think anyone really cared. I don't know anyone who was
actually offended,
personally offended by that. I think she was just, I think it was kind of like last night when Joe Biden called him a clown and then immediately said, man, afterwards. Like, no one really cared because, well, we know. But like,
I think the quote was, like, if the clown shoe fits.
Well, you know who cared?
Yeah.
You know who cared? The clowns cared. Sure. I mean, apparently some clowns came out and said, we don't accept Donald Trump. So
yeah, I saw that. I saw that afterwards. Go ahead, Willa.
But no, I think that there were a lot more people who were offended by when Joe Biden said, you ain't black. And I saw, I saw a lot of African-American women come out and just be like, yeah, like Joe Biden, I was rooting for you before. I don't think that, you know, I don't necessarily think you're my guy anymore. And they wore shirts that said, you ain't black. And there were a lot of African-American women aged about 25 to 50. I saw it a lot on Instagram. I saw some of it on Twitter. And I see some of it looking over my mom's shoulder on Facebook. So I think that those voters, and I know we were kind of getting off topic to another topic we were talking about earlier, but I think those voters, I don't think they'll be voting for Trump. And I don't think they'll be voting for Biden. I think that I think what Biden did last night, or more of what Trump did, where he didn't, Trump alienated swing voters. He alienated those voters, especially I think those African-American women or people who really took to heart what Biden had said about not being black and him essentially defining their race for them, which is something I don't think anyone who's not really white, because come on, I'm white. I don't know any white people who really get offended by, you know, yeah, something might be racist, something might say to someone might say to a white person, but no one really cares. I mean, that's just a white trend, I guess, of just not caring about things being racist towards them. But I know that there are quite a few, by quite a few, I mean a lot, of African Americans who are very proud to be African American, and the rich history that Africans, specifically African Americans, have had overcoming slavery, overcoming segregation, overcoming being a minority and still being a minority, but overcoming racism in America. And I think that when Donald Trump refused to condemn white supremacists last night, he alienated those voters. And I think that, you know, it's a stereotype that African Americans don't vote. I think that that stereotype might be held up because of Donald Trump. And that is not a stereotype we want to continue.
Well, it's bad. Yeah. It's bad. And I just want to say this before I hand it over to Varun. Right now, if we're going to follow the polls, a vote, someone not voting right now is a vote for Joe Biden. And what I mean by that is, the last thing Trump wants to be, let's say Trump loses, you know, just hypothetically, a million voters, but those voters don't go and vote for Joe Biden. That hurts Trump immensely regardless, because right now Biden is winning the election. Biden is winning the election. So every Republican that doesn't go out and vote, even if they don't vote for Joe Biden, it hurts Trump. And in 2016, you saw a lot of Democrats not go out and vote because Hillary was a bad and horrible candidate. This year, you might see the opposite. And I feel like we might see a lot of Republicans that say, I can't vote for not for either. But either way, I'll hand it over to Varun, and we can, I think we're running on an hour and 8 minutes here. But I definitely want to hear what Varun has to say about this.
So I want to make an ending point since we're over time. You said one thing, I don't know if you meant it, that black people overcame racism. And I think that statement may have been controversial. It shouldn't have been controversial, but it may have been controversial a couple of days ago. But now more than ever, it is extremely clear that black people have not overcome racism, especially when it sits in the White House. Uh-huh. Especially when it sits in the White House. Yeah. And that's something I'll always believe in. And to Joe Biden's claim, that if you vote for Trump, you ain't black. Sure, I think he was mentioning the fact that, you know, black people have been significantly disadvantaged in terms of policy, not as much, but in terms of rhetoric, in terms of hate crimes being committed towards them, it is exponentially higher than a George W. Bush or Obama combined. Now, I think that negatively affects the black community, but I do not and will not ever agree with Joe Biden coming out and saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Because what that means is a severe restriction upon opinion. And in America, I've always believed, I've changed my viewpoint on this. You know, Damien, I talked about this last week. I've changed my viewpoint. If you support Donald Trump, I have much more respect for you than if you're anti-vote, if you don't decide to vote. Because what you're doing, if you're against the vote, is you're impeding upon democracy, hindering democracy. If you're voting for Trump, that's fine. At least you care and want to make an effort. That is completely okay with me, better with me than if you're not voting at all. So I think that needs to be the major claim. And Joe Biden revoked his statement. As I said before, Joe Biden apologized. It's one of the things Joe Biden is not proud of, is still not proud of, he will never be proud of. And in the spirit of you know, being as sometimes I am bipartisan. Believe it or not, I am bipartisan. And one of the times that I am bipartisan in is upon the issue of cancel culture. I'm extremely bipartisan and even side right on cancel culture, especially because I think people should have free speech, free opinion. And as much as we do want to impact people with our own influences, I think people should have their own ability to embody their wishes. And I think that the cancel culture impedes upon that that debate, that political debate in our country, and that's something I'll always stick by. But I want to end by saying that racism again sits in the White House, and until that can be taken out, my stance is that racism will never be completely eliminated. That's the first step.
Yeah. I want to say that the most surprising thing, and we talked about it a little bit, was the fact that Donald Trump did not come out the second the debate ended and it tweeted. I mean, the second the debate ended, he should have been on CNN. He should have been on Fox News. Hell, he should have called, you know, every single media station and said, give me 5 minutes. Give me 15 minutes. I want to make a statement about the comments that I made. And he should have said, I denounce white supremacy. He still hasn't done it.
He can do that. As an incumbent, he can do that.
As the president of the United States, he can call for 5 minutes on every single, they will stop football for him. He can do that, and he should have done that. One last thing, I just want to, you know, two things just to bring up laughs. You know, I saw a tweet earlier today where it was like, you know, the game Among Us has become very popular. And I saw a tweet that was, Orange is sus, vote him out. And I think that it was one of the funniest tweets that I've ever seen. And the second thing is, you can get your Will You Shut Up Man t-shirts right now on store.joebiden.com. Joe Biden made Will You Shut Up Man, the quote, you know, again, I was talking about how that's a one-liner, but he made that a t-shirt that you can actually buy right now.
And then guess how much his pins are, which say I pay my taxes. $7.50.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good. And then I saw a bunch of people donating, whether it be $7.50 to Biden or $750. There was a huge sway on that. But, you know, again, I want to thank Will, first of all. For the amazing conversation that we had today. I want to thank Varun for the insightful, almost serving as a moderator for our conversation. You know, coming prepared with his notes as he always does, asking amazing questions and really leading the conversation that we had today. But I want to thank the viewers for tuning in to today's episode. I know it was a little bit longer than usual, but I think that this might be one of my favorite episodes. This was an amazing conversation. Yeah. I got a lot off my chest, which is what we try to use the podcast for.
I want to give Will one last opportunity.
Yes. Yeah. Real. 1,000%. Yeah, that's what I was gonna go with. Go ahead, Will.
Kind of building off what you said, Damian. I saw a tweet. It was the reference to the game Among Us. It was, I've seen better debates in Among Us chats.
Yeah.
And I think, and I saw another one that it was. This one was pretty popular. Is that the debate last night was about as bad as a Modern Warfare 2 lobby.
Yeah, I saw that one
and
too.
And it was horrible. I think we can all agree it was a horrible debate. Minutes in, I already had 2 ibuprofen and my headache was still there. And
imagine Joe Biden. Down. Joe Biden's 70. Well, he's almost 80. Imagine how many ibuprofen he had to pop after that.
I was counting down the seconds until I could take the next ibuprofen, but
yeah,
I think that last night was very important, and the debates, whether you agree with Nancy Pelosi or not, I think debates are very important for presidency because they really show how well a candidate can improvise. And we saw with Joe Biden, he did a lot better than I thought he would have, and Trump was about as Trump as I thought he was going to be. So I'm going to end it on that. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate being on the show, and I hope to be on sometime in the future, hopefully for the next couple debates.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and
definitely.
Speaking on the future, I want to end here, Damien. I hope I didn't interrupt you there.
No, not at all.
But we at Polititeen are going to be having a lot of guests about these debates for the next couple of weeks. A lot of guests specifically about these debates until the election. I think you won't be getting some of the regular programming. We're going to have a lot of guests and just a lot of perspectives about these debates from every view of the corner. Because as Will said, these debates are absolutely essential in determining our next president. And these deserve our utmost attention and your utmost attention. So that's going to be what it looks like in the future. But that said, I want to let Damien end the podcast.
Yes, as Varun was saying, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into today's episode. We hope that you did enjoy. Be sure to tune in this Monday. We're going to have, hopefully, the Anti-Trump Hype House on the podcast. This is a group that you can find on TikTok, and I believe that you can also find them on Instagram. One more thing before we do. We're trying to have perspectives from every single side. So as a disclaimer, we did also reach out to the Trump Hype House, both of them. I have not heard back from either of them. So I want to make that extremely clear. I will make that extremely clear again on Monday. But be sure to tune in to the Anti-Trump Hype House. Even if you support Donald Trump, it's always great to listen to different perspectives. And that's what we always invite you to do here on the podcast. Listen to different perspectives. Sit down, have conversations, whether it be at the dinner table, whether it be with a teacher. Make sure that you're gaining every single bit of perspective that you can. And as always, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, guys. Hello, 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 everybody. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Polititeen Podcast. If you enjoyed our conversation, head on over to www.patreon.com/Polititeen Podcast for more exclusive members-only content, special episodes, and merch drops. That is, once again, www.patreon.com/Polititeen Podcast. I'm going to make it a jingle when I grow up. It is www.patreon.com/Polititeen Podcast. No, I'm just kidding, you guys. But definitely visit www.polititeenpodcast.com. For more amazing content from myself, Damien, our team, our amazing artwork head, and our sponsors over at Polititeen. And once again, thank you so much for watching today's episode. Thank you to my co-host, Damien Galvin, for an amazing conversation. My friend, I do appreciate your input as always. And that said, have a great rest of your weekend. Chime in for the next episode, and we hope you enjoyed today's conversation.